Well, it was a perfect morning for driving across the Downs this morning. And it really is a privilege to come here this morning and bring something from God. And Pam and myself are really thrilled to be back and hear the buzz, because when we got to the front door of the church this morning, first thing that Pam said was, there's a buzz in there. Which is encouraging, because we prayed here for 8 years at least for this to be happening, and it's encouraging to see it, and it's a privilege to be able to come back and see familiar faces and be an encouragement to you. God has put it on my heart to go to small groups and bring encouragement and bring his word. I believe that's what my calling is now in these days, particularly on the island. When I was stood over here worshipping earlier on, I felt the Lord say, I am pleased with you. I'm here for you, says the Lord. My hand is open to you, for you to put your hand in mine, says the Lord, and I will lead you on, even to a stronger place, said the Lord, even to a wider place, even to a place where I'm taking you, where you will be a blessing to many, and where you'll know my presence. Stick to me, says the Lord your God, and I will bless you and help you and strengthen you, and you will be a blessing, says the Lord. Pam's going to bring a reading to us.
It's lovely to be back and to see some familiar faces and some unfamiliar faces too. And it's amazing what John's just said. I just want permission to share this, Drew. Is this okay? Because that word he brought, while I was sat here, the Lord said to me to say to you what is in your hand. And what that last song we sang was more. I want more of you, Lord. And what the Lord showed me was, this isn't physical, but it was a spiritual banqueting table, and it was all the way down here. Now, I know in the past we've had some good banquets, haven't we? Now, you wouldn't go out that door without tasting the delights, would you, of the banquet? And God says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And I believe God wants you to reach out and receive something fresh from that table today. The reading is from Romans 8, and it's verses 18 to 26. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I think that deserves a big amen, don't you? For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we have been saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen.
I believe that the most important thing in life is to know God and to serve him and to worship him. The most important thing in life. And I believe that comes before everything else. Because when we're in a relationship with God and our hearts are right with God, then he will provide all that we need to be his child and provide all our needs and blessings, etc. We can only do what God has brought us into the world to do when we come into a relationship with him. And it's almost like that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. He is sovereign. And we can do nothing except trust God. We can do nothing, only believe that God has called us. And God will call individuals to do specific works for him. But the most important thing is to have our hearts right with God. Serving God leads to life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to come to God, only through me. And there is no other way that we can find fulfillment in this world other than having a relationship with God. And my heart's desire this morning is to want to encourage you to take hold of God's hand in faith and start to begin to walk with him and start to leave the things of the world behind. God wants to lead his children on. God is calling his children in these days to stand up, rise up and trust him. And I'm going to be sharing more about that in a minute. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is costly, but we can only do it in the grace of God. We can only do it with Christ in the centre of our lives and the Holy Spirit leading us, giving us strength and grace. In Psalm 28, there are two verses, 7 and 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. And I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. And if we want strength this morning, there's only one place to go, and that's into the arms and the presence of God. You know that God is closer to us than breathing out most of the time, and he's also in the center of the lives of his children, and he indwells us, and he wants to be in the center of all that we are, particularly his church. And as he brings people together, he's calling us in these days to start to think about lifting your head above the parapet. Early Christians had great persecution. Some even faced death. Galileans were particularly persecuted. They were told to carry a cross to the place where they would be murdered or crucified. Carry your cross. This is where the word comes from. To carry your cross daily is to die daily to God. Dying to the things of the world, because we don't belong here. We're only passing through. And for those of us who have put our trust in Christ and received God's forgiveness, we're on that journey. And God wants us to stir up the gift that is in you, like Paul said to Timothy. Stir it up. Fan it into flame. Some of you know the gift that you've got, but how long is it since you began to use it? Unless we use what God gives us, he takes it away. We lose it. So this is a word of encouragement this morning for all of us to walk into the things of God where we've not been before, in faith, going in faith with God. Lord, what is it today you've got for me? Where am I going today, Lord? And where is my place in the church? Lord, I want that gift that you've put in my heart to come to fruition or come alive. Lord, I want to serve you, because we won't find any fulfillment in things of the world. When our spirits have been renewed, when our lives have been renewed, the Bible tells us that old things have passed away and all things become new. We become a new creation. We have a new nature. And the only thing that will satisfy that nature is having Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit in the centre of our lives. It doesn't come any other way. Jesus resisted pressures to conform to the world, even when he came into the world. He fulfilled his mission. And we can only fulfil our mission by not compromising. We can only fulfil our mission by standing on the word of God. We can only fulfil that calling in our lives, what God has put within our hearts, by listening to him, by spending time in his presence, by reading his word. Our sufferings don't compare to what Jesus suffered for us. We might think we've got a few problems, but God actually uses problems to change our lives. He'll use difficulties and struggles so that we learn to cope and grow up in the things of God. And this is God speaking this morning. He's calling you to go where you haven't been before. Start to move on in faith. Jesus was whipped, disfigured and hung on a cross. He was despised and rejected and put out the gate and hung on the cross and took our death. He came, the God-man came to seek and to save those who were lost. I was lost, but Jesus found me in a Salvation Army hostel in Coventry in 1972. That must be nearly 50 years ago now. 47. Well, nearly 50 years, yeah. It's amazing, really, when you just stop and think for a minute and think, how have I suddenly got here? Where have all the years gone? And I'm sure a lot of you feel the same. Paul said, I consider that our present sufferings is not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That excites me, because God has done something in our hearts. He's done something in my heart, and I've seen his hand at work in what he's called me to do, and I'm excited about where I'm going, what the future holds. And there are rewards for those who are faithful, and we're going to be looking at that shortly. And we live in a fallen world. In verse 20 of our reading, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. Sin caused creation to fall from God's perfect plan. You know the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, blowing it, disobeying God and doing what God didn't want them to do, and they was cast out of the garden. And a curse came on the earth. They was put in a garden of plenty and they blew it and lost it. And as a result, we were all born in sin. We were all born under a curse. All our righteousness is filthy rags. We were born physically, but spiritually dead. And we can't really make it on our own. The only way we can make it is to put our hand in the hand of God let go of the past and our old way of life, and by faith say, Lord, I want to follow you, and I want to complete your purpose in my life, what you've called me to do. Sin caused creation to fall from God's perfect state. The world is now subject to bondage, decay, and frustration. It cannot fulfill its intended purpose without God. The world will not come into its full state of plenty without God. We can do nothing. We're lost in a world that's fallen. We were born into a world of sin and corruption. Everything around us is in a fallen state. I can remember speaking some time ago here on Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 60 and the first two verses at least. Isaiah 60 verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you, God's people. The darkness is getting darker, and I think you'll agree with me on that. Everything is not what it used to be. Everything that we knew when we was younger is changing. What was right now is wrong. What was wrong is right. And it's all upside down. And the darkness is on people. I was reading in the paper, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, about the worst places in Britain to live. Peterborough was named as the first one. But then it described what the people were like in Peterborough, how they were to look at, miserable, downcast, darkness on their faces, no hope. And this is the way that darkness is coming. Now, Christians, God's people, have the light of God within our lives. And God says that the light on his people will get stronger, and the darkness will get darker. Now, this is good news this morning, because if we continue to put our hands in the hand of God, then we will know his blessing, and the light will be on his people, particularly as a church group, the body of Christ. And people out there in darkness will come to God's people for answers to their pressing problems. What is it that you've got? I want to know what it is. Tell me. I can't cope. Everything's going haywire. I'm confused. What is it that's in your life? And we have to have an answer for that. And if we continue to worship God, serve God together as a family, they will be drawn to you. They will be drawn to us. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, God's people, and his glory appears over you. Walking in the light of God, serving God, continuing to do his will bring God's light upon us. We live in a fallen world. All creation will be liberated. In verse 21, the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. The day will come when all creation is liberated and transformed, when Jesus comes back, when he comes again to fulfill his purposes and build his kingdom on earth. All looks hopeless now, and there is godlessness everywhere. You know, we can only cope with all this godlessness if we're resting secure in God's presence. We don't need to argue about it. all we need to do is pray for them and ask God to do something concerning their state. Jesus says, lift up your heads, your redemption draws near. This is a vision for the future, a vision for where we're going. We're not just here every Sunday to have a time of worship and just welcome each other and just enjoy ourselves, but we're on a journey. And we can only commence that journey in the light of God if we know where we're going. And we need to know collectively where we're going as a church and individually what your place is in it and what part you will be playing in the journey. And if we can start to understand what God's calling is for us, then we're going to make a change here in Sandown and the island. But he doesn't want to shut away just having a glorious time every Sunday morning. There's a purpose in it, because God wants his kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we have a foretaste of the kingdom of God. And if we can grow into that and grow up and believe that God has got his hand on you as an individual and you're not a mistake and you're here in his divine purpose, then the devil can't kick you out if you believe that. Because what the devil wants to do is to scatter the church, keep you from working together, keep you from loving each other and caring for one another that will make an impact out there on the lives of people in darkness. Lift up your heads. Arise, shine. That means to start to lift up your head and rejoice in God and walk with the spring in your step. Be positive in all that you do. It's difficult sometimes with the things that the enemy puts on us, but the emphasis is to rise up and shine. Put a smile on our face, as Pam keeps reminding me to do. Have a smile. Greater is he who is in you than him who is in the world. That is the devil tormenting, pressurizing us. And it will come through family. I've been in ministry now over 40 years. Pam has been my wife for 25 years almost, and the pressures that we've had has always come from within the family, the main thrust of it. It's how he works, and we need to recognize how he does it, and he'll try and inflict our health. And we need to know how to deal with the devil in our lives. But we can't do that until we've helped ourselves first. We've got to start having faith in what God has done in our lives and who we are in God, and start to stir up our gift and start to express it. Jesus says, lift up your heads, your redemption is near. A new order will free God's people from sin, sickness, and evil. God's people have the first fruits now. We have a deposit of what our inheritance is. In verse 23, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. We're only really going to make it through if we remain faithful till Jesus comes. And we need to be looking for him coming and praying for him to come. God's people will be resurrected and given glorious bodies. You're going to get a body like Jesus's, fit for eternity. You'll have a new body. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of a resurrected life. If we have the Holy Spirit, we're secure in the knowledge that we will be resurrected to the kingdom of God. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Praise God. This is something, a scripture I used to use quite a lot when I was doing evangelism up in the Midlands. Speaking to me people and saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to taste it to know it. Like they say in Yorkshire, it's better felt than told. You've got to experience it. Taste and see. Once you get a taste of God's presence in our lives and the blessings of God, we want more of it. Taste and see. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. He is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is our deposit. Are you a child of God? And if you are, you have a great inheritance. Joint heirs with Christ. Heirs with Christ. So we wait with hope and patience. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? We don't hope for what we have, but we hope for what we don't have. And I want to encourage you to hope for the right things. Hope that you make it through by God's grace. Hope to see Jesus coming for his bride. That is our health cry. Coming out of the darkness into the light. We don't belong here. Our home is in glory, in the paradise of God. Amen. All suffering will be gone. But if you hope for what you do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Patiently. I find patient being patient. Do you find it difficult, Dennis, being patient? Yeah. That's something that God's been working on me for years, and Pam keeps reminding me of it. Slowing me down. Slow down. Like a horse with biting at, chanting at the bit. Slow down. But the best is yet to come. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. God's people cannot afford to compromise with anything. God's people cannot afford to compromise. Not by not reading the word of God. Not going off in any other direction. Any other ism. But in Christ, we're complete. We don't need anything else. There's nothing else. And in these days, there's a lot of deception. And we need to stand on God's word and be faithful in Christ. God's people cannot afford to compromise. Even in the church, many of them don't carry their Bibles anymore. Not saying it's a sin to do that. But in a lot of the churches I go in, there are no Bibles. And it's the word of God that is important, because it's a living word. It's the voice of God speaking to us. It's alive and quicker than any two-edged sword. It's God's word to us. And that word of God will feed us and strengthen us and equip us. It's by reading the word. I'm called to preach, but I'm only going to preach what the word of God. I'm not preaching my own opinions. I'm standing on the word, and I give the word. It's the word that brings faith, and faith comes by hearing. Amen. It's the word of God. There will be rewards for our service. In the Bible, there are five crowns of rewards, crowns for God's people. There are five crowns listed in the Bible I want to mention to you this morning. And the first crown is the crown of life. Through his love for God, the believer finds strength to overcome temptation and endure trials. The Apostle Paul said, "We also glory in tribulations." So our love for the Lord and what he's done for us gives us strength to carry on. Find strength to overcome temptation and endure trials. That's James chapter 1 and verse 12. And the second one is the crown imperishable. Paul uses the Greek games to illustrate that the spiritual race of the believer, they ran to win a perishable crown, but we run for an imperishable crown. That's in 1 Corinthians 9. So all our activities in the world really are futile. They amount to nothing. There used to be a song that I remember, George Beverly Shear. I don't know if some of you can remember him, but I think he was one that was used to sing with Billy Graham at his crusades. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Only what's done for Jesus will last. So I guess as Christians, as children of God, we have to review what we do in our lives and what we're doing with our lives every day. Are we doing God's purpose every day? Are we going where God wants us to go and not where Jesus wouldn't go? Do we only say things that Jesus would say and not what he wouldn't say? You know, this is a great challenge to all of us. The battle is in our mind. It takes a long time for our minds to get cleaned up once we become a committed Christian, because the enemy wants to hang on and the stuff there that's dragging us back. But the battle is in the mind. And the only thing that will clean our mind up is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Let that mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Nobody's at fault here, because we were all in darkness, including me. We were all lost. But it is a word of encouragement from God for all of us to stand up, trust him, and walk in the truth, and walk in the light as he is in the light. You will be known by your fruit. Your fruit will tell everybody who you and what you are, what you produce. If you don't like the fruit that you're harvesting in your life, then change what you're sowing. What we sow, we reap. What we sow, we reap. Pam and myself really enjoy our time together now. It's getting so precious, the time that we spend together every morning, reading the Word of God and praying together. But once we've started that, we miss it if it doesn't happen. If something comes up, then for the rest of the day, I think, oh, what's missing? And it was that time together, first thing in the day. Putting God first in our lives, surrendering to him. The crown of rejoicing is the third one. This is the soul winner's crown. The greatest work you are privileged to do for the Lord is to bring others to a knowledge of Christ as Saviour. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. I'm convinced that if our lives are what they should be, and we shine with the glory of God, we will encounter divine contacts, because people will be drawn. And we will be able to share with them why I feel the way I do. Would you mind if I tell you what Jesus did for me? And if you can get a positive answer to that, then you've got the mandate to share the gospel. but we also need to know how to share the gospel, that people can make sense of it and respond and become a committed Christian. So we've a lot to learn, and we're learning all the time because the times they are changing. But the key to it is to rest in God and arise and shine. The crown of righteousness is a reward for those who love and are waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. This had a dynamic impact on Paul's life. He could say, I have fought the good fight. Verse 7. I have finished the race. Verse 7. I have kept the faith. Verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 and 7. I have finished the race. I don't think we ever finish the race until the Lord takes us, or until he comes. A colleague of mine, Don Double, he said, I want to be preaching the gospel when the Lord calls me. He wants to just keep pressing on. He sold his big car. He's not travelling all over the country now. He's just still ministering in the Cornwall area of southwest of England, doing very similar to what we do on the island, going to where he can to encourage and preach the gospel. I have kept the faith. And then number 5, the crown of glory is a special reward for faithful, obedient, God-called pastors. They will receive the reward when the Christ shepherd appears. Also, we will have eternal life spent in the paradise of God. That will happen when Christ's new kingdom is established, and we will receive new bodies and personalities beyond this life. Are you excited about God's promises to us this morning? It's wonderful if we can take hold of it. But we can only receive this. We can only grow by faith. It's by faith. I remember in my home church up in Coventry, just over 40 years ago, it was an evangelical church, but it was a charismatic church, and the pastor was leading us into the gifts of the Spirit and everything. And I remember reading, I don't know whether it was some Don Double or somebody, said that God only speaks to faith. And it was in terms of giving a word in the church. Now, if you feel that God gives you something, he wants you to share it. But a lot of people think, is it me? Is it the devil? Or where is it coming from? And they're unsure to be able to share it with someone. But I want to encourage you, it's by faith. We speak by faith because God only gives us stuff or puts things in our heart that we can understand. But when we share it, it's by faith. We speak in faith. We may make mistakes at first and stumble, but we grow as we apply faith in what we feel God wants us to do. Stepping out in faith. I remember also 1972, somebody on our committee said to me, John, we need a centre, we need an office somewhere. This is in Coventry. And we had no support, there was a little group of us, and we felt that we needed a place to base our ministry. And God provided a place, but it was £25 a week. And we called it the Christian Care Centre, I think. The Christian Care Centre. It was an office set up where we had an office and a counselling room. But it was £25 a week, and we had no funds or anywhere from anyone. Really, that has been a pattern of my life for 40 years. I've never sent out anything requesting money. Because what God orders, he pays for. What God tells us to do, if it's from God, it will happen. but we have to operate in faith. And God gave me a word from Proverbs 29, I think it was, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in God will be safe. I think that was it. And that gave me something to press on. And we established that Christian Care Centre, which eventually led to the founding of the Coventry City Mission. So it's amazing how things develop when we trust God and what happens. You know, we can say a word and believe it's from God. It may be, some of it may not be, but in the main it will be, because you're in faith, and it will speak to someone. It will help somebody else. And if we just continue in faith and take wise counsel from the pastor and the leaders of the church, then we will grow. Revelation 21, I am making everything new. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now is the dwelling of God is with men, and we will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, for crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Praise God. That's where we're headed. That's the hope that we have. This is the new Jerusalem. Have you ever wondered what eternity will be like? It's a place where God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no death, pain, sorrow, or crying. And we will have new bodies that will last for eternity. Forever, forever, and forever, and forever, and forever, in the presence of God. Conclusion. No matter what you are going through, now is not the last word. God has written the final chapter, and it's about true fulfillment and eternal joy for God's people. If you're sat there and you're wondering what you can do, start to have faith in what God has already put in your heart and believe that you're not a mistake. And God doesn't make mistakes, and you're special, and he knew you before the foundation of the world, even when you was in your mother's womb. And he has a special purpose for you and for this church. I was saying to Drew, I believe that God wants to give this church a vision beyond discipleship into the community and beyond. And collectively, if you pray together, I'm sure God will show you that, but you've got to complete the first stage first, and that's to start to grow into what he's called you to be as an individual and fellowship. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your divine presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for the wonder of salvation, the miracle of life that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought us out of darkness into the light. You've shown us the truth, and the truth sets us free. Father, I want to pray for your people here at Sandown, this little fellowship. I pray that you continue to bless them and add to them, that their fellowship will become much sweeter, and there will be an expression of the glory of God from this place that will bring light to the Isle of Wight, that will light up, Lord, a beacon, a lighthouse of light that will draw people to the truth. Father, we thank you for what you've done over the years since we've been on the island, and how things have wonderfully changed, and that buzz is starting to happen. Father, keep them sweet to bless one another. And I pray, living God, that your Holy Spirit will come on each individual this morning and touch each one at their point of need, bring healing, blessing, and filling, hope and purpose and strength. Bless them, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.